Our next song, you may be seated. Our next song you have on the insert, and it's Chris Tomlin and a couple others addition to John Newton's. You know, John Newton, he wrote a lot of years ago, and a lot of us have sung the song many, many times. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And then he says, I once was lost. And that's a very biblical concept. That's what we're going to look at in just a couple minutes. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. If you see that, it's on the back. The insert is on the back of the pictures of the men's breakfast. Are we finding it?
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed.
My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised to me His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love. Shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbid to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever. That testimony, I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now one or two of us aren't there. Would you join me, since I get papers shuffled here, join me in prayer again. Dear Heavenly Father, we do praise you, and we just we thank you for your wonderful, wonderful holy words of life that you have so faithfully brought to us through the generations of men. And we ask you, your Holy Spirit, to teach us to speak to our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are lost. To be lost means to be unable to find one's way. Not knowing one's whereabouts, having gone astray or having missed the way. Bewildered as to place or direction. A little bit like coming out of Walmart and not being able to find your car. But probably on a grander scale. Ruined or destroyed physically or mentally or morally rather. Not knowing where you are or how to get where you want to go. We, as in the human race, apart from salvation in Jesus Christ, are lost. In Luke's gospel we read, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." And you might say about now, wait a minute, Dave, I thought we were in a Genesis study. And we are. Yes, we are. The lostness that Luke writes about is a result of the spread of sin and death from the fall of humanity that we have been studying in Genesis 3. So let's review just a little bit. Review a little bit to set the stage. We know that on the day of the disobedience of Adam and Eve, that God came to the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day looking for Adam and Eve. We know that Adam and Eve are now dead, as God had told them that in the day that they eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that they would surely die. And we know that not only have Adam and Eve died because of their sin, but that through Adam's sin, death and sin have spread to all people. Global devastation and death. Let's go back to the scene as God comes walking in the garden. "Where are you?" he calls out. Now, I didn't have the nerve to do it, but I was going to get the other mic. And you know how you do the golf announcer voice, you know, the golf, and it's off to the side, and the golf guys are giving the commentary, so maybe a different day we'll take that little extra spin. But God calls out, "Where are you?" Adam and Eve are hiding. God has asked, "Where are you?" But beyond the basic facts that they are hiding among the trees, they just don't know. The trees they are hiding among are part of the garden that God set them over to work and to keep. Everything is the same, but everything is different. They have lost their way. The effects of this catastrophe have left them in darkness. They were the first sheep off the path. Isaiah 53:6, "All we like sheep," all we, does that include you, by the way? I think it does, and me. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone," again, there we are. "We have turned everyone to his own way." We must understand that we live in a post-Eden world, which means that we must understand the continuing effects of the fall. To help us do this, we keep asking ourselves the question that God asked Adam and Eve, "Where are you?" Part of the answer to that question is that we are lost. But there is good news. Fast forward about 4,000 years, and we find that the Son of Man has come to this earth to seek and to save the lost. Would you turn with me to Luke chapter 19, verse 1? Luke chapter 19, verse 1. Probably none of you know this song, but Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Some of us can really identify with that. "And a wee little man was he, and he climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And then the Lord," something.
"As the Savior went his way."
And the Lord what?
"As the Savior went his way."
And as the Savior went his way,
he looked up in the tree.
He looked up in that tree, and he said, and then you get the kid, "Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today." I didn't think any of you would know that. Well, this is where we are, and this is this concept. See, we have to understand all of these things that happen in the cataclysm of the fall of humanity. And we see these things revealed later in Scripture in Ezekiel 34:16. And I used to have study notes here somewhere. I don't now, but you'll see on your sheet, yes, I do, that on the front, that God, speaking through Ezekiel, saying, I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed. We see this concept through Scripture of all these things that come. When Adam and Eve rebelled, they brought sin into this world, and they brought death and all of these things. To understand the world that we live in, we need to know these things. So when we hear John Newton's song, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Very biblical concept. And when we have the story then of Zacchaeus, when we hear then Luke write, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost, all of that began in Genesis. So we have the story of Zacchaeus, and this is how this fits. And we say, well, we're in Luke, but we're studying in Genesis. Well, this is the whole point of that, is the continuing effect, the beginning of this world about 6,000 years ago, Christ coming about 4,000 years ago. But all of these things transpiring from the rebellion in the garden, this is why the Son of God had to come to bring redemption, to be our Savior. So it was still relevant then. Now, 2,000 years later, it is still relevant. Now, just think about it with me, because at first it might seem like a little bit of a silly idea, but it's not. Go ask your neighbor, where are you? And they're going to maybe look at you like you're from a different planet or something, because, you know, you're standing right there with them in Farm King, or you knocked on their door. But no, where are you? And a question, see, God had these questions. Where are you? Where do you get your information? Have you disobeyed me? What is this that you have done? All of these things. And they just keep rolling through for every generation of mankind. So it doesn't matter that it's 6,000 years later, it's still very relevant. Where are you? And so we ask ourselves, where am I? We ask our neighbor, where are you? Do you know where you are? And it's, well, I'm right here. But do you know where you are in space and time, that point of this earth history, but in the context of eternity? Do we know where we are? Do we know where we are before a great and grand and glorious God, a God full of love, but a God who will one day judge? And probably, and I don't have statistics, but I think you realize this as much as I do, that probably most of the people on this earth will not find the reality of where they are in the grand scheme of things until they are before the judgment of God. Where are we? Jesus Christ came to seek and to save the lost. Zacchaeus was one who was found. How was he found? How is it that we can be found? You know, we can, because not all lost people are found, are they? Well, I guess we just ought to get to the Luke story, shouldn't we? Jesus entered Jericho. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a wee little man, like other people we know around here. He was a chief tax collector and was rich, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. He wanted to get a look at this Jesus. Do you know what was happening in Zacchaeus' life? There was something starting to stir there. See, something's wrong. See, he was rich, wasn't he? He had it. He could probably buy anything he wanted. These tax collectors, we've learned that about them. And they were despicable people, is what we've learned. They just weren't the best, and they gouged people. And just say tax person anyway, and no offense to anybody if you're a tax person, but that can kind of not be the best thing that you want to hear, really. But something was stirring. He's a little short guy, like I say, some of us. Now, if it had been one of you standing there, you probably wouldn't have had to climb that tree, but I'd have been right up there on a branch with Zacchaeus, because I couldn't have seen over the crowd. The silliness part aside, there was something that caused this rich man to climb a tree. Now, think about that. Can I get a look at this Jesus? Something's going on in Zacchaeus' life. All the treasure, all the riches, that's not enough. Zacchaeus, we know, is lost, because we're going to see down in verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. And he said, and Zacchaeus is one of those. Zacchaeus was seeking. Zacchaeus was seeking. Zacchaeus was exposed as a sinner in verses 5 to 7. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. That just, this thing is stirring. I've got to get a look at this Jesus. And oh my goodness, I climb this tree and I look, and there's the Son of God, and he looks at me and he says, Zacchaeus, get down out of that tree. I'm coming to your house today. I'm coming to your house. Zacchaeus has to be flooded with all kinds of emotions, but I'm thinking that they're probably all, if not all, good. The excitement. He knows something's stirring. He's about to be found. This one he's heard all about, the one he climbed up in the tree so he could just see. You know how that is. You want to see someone? Maybe I can look into his eyes. Maybe there's something in his eyes that'll speak to this longing, to this lostness in my soul. And lo and behold, I'm in the on the tree branch, and I look at him, and he looked at me. I didn't expect that, but he looked at me, and he looked in my eyes, and what I saw. And he said, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house today. He was exposed as a sinner. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up, said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, yeah, you always got to have they, don't you? They are always out there. They said this, they stirred that, they started this, they contended that, but there they were. It's the religious folk. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. See, Zacchaeus is exposed as a sinner. Well, he already knew that, and he's knowing that more and more now. And you know what that is? That's a really good thing. Because it's something that they weren't seeing. They weren't seeing that they were sinners. You know who wasn't going to be found that day? They. Them. But Zacchaeus, he was going to be found that day. The Son of God was coming. The Son of Man, it's called here. Christ is called the Son of God, the Son of Man, our Savior, our Redeemer, all of these things. Whatever you're calling him, he is coming to my house today. I just climbed up in a tree. I wanted to get a glimpse or something stirring in my soul. And he's coming to my house. Zacchaeus knew he was lost and needed to be saved. Verses 8 to 10. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, he just blurted it out. I mean, it just like, again, something stirring. He knew he had not been honest in his labors. He knew he was rich for a reason, many of them not good. And he stood and said to the Lord, behold, see, a changed heart is what we're seeing here. Repentance is what we're seeing here. Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. See, folks, when we meet the Savior, when the Savior, he comes to us, the lost person, and finds us, and we come to him, it results in a changed life. And the changes were coming fast and hard for Zacchaeus. And I can't imagine a person being more thrrilled than fighting with this disturbance deep in his soul. This lostness that started in the Garden of Eden. Your lostness started in the Garden of Eden. My dead. Through this death, through this global devastation to every generation of mankind. But Jesus came. If you notice, if you just stop for a minute and think of this too, God came looking for the lost in the garden, didn't he? And God the Son picked up the Father's cause. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Father-Son effort here. And oh, by the way, the Father-Son effort and the Holy Spirit just happens to be God who's coming to seek and to save the lost. Jesus said to him, today, salvation. I just can't imagine the joy. Today, salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For, now we place this gem right there in its context. Today, salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. I once was, amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Are your hearts overflowing with joy and thankfulness? If you've been found, have you been found? That's what we need to ask. Each of us need to ask, where are you? Where am I? Speak to someone about living in time and space in the context of eternity. Speak to someone about the transient nature of this life and our ultimate accountability before God. Do we see how relevant God's question to Adam and Eve about 6,000 years ago is even now? Where are you? Ask a person on the street or on the job or a neighbor, where are you? They may look at you as if you are from another planet, because apart from a saving work of Jesus Christ in their lives, like Adam and Eve, they don't know beyond the basics. The only answer they could give, they could see they were still in the garden, but everything had changed. They were hiding among the trees, but they didn't know where they were. They were the first sheep off the path. They were the first lost ones. They don't know beyond the basics. They're in Farm King in Macomb, Illinois, or they're in Hy-Vee or on the factory floor at Bowers. What do you mean, where am I? I'm in the same place as you are. But they are not. They don't know because they're lost. Again, our definition, to be lost means to be unable to find one's way, not knowing one's whereabouts, gone astray or having missed the way, bewildered as to place or direction, not knowing where they are or how to get where they want to go. They are lost. Apart from Jesus Christ, they are lost. Apart from Jesus Christ, you are lost. This is our post-Eden world. We are born dead in our sins. We are born lost. The good news, Jesus Christ came to seek and save the lost. While we're at it, ask ourselves the question, do you know? Do you know where you are in the will of God? Do you know where you stand in view of his greatness and glory? Do you know where you stand in view of his salvation? Probably most people will not know. Probably most people will not know the reality, the whole picture, the big screen, until they're standing before God in judgment. Today is the day of salvation. Make sure you know today. Do you know? Would you close your eyes for me? Just everybody close your eyes, and I just want us to think about this. Do you know where you are? You know, sometimes our religion can confuse us. And our religion is what's in the way of knowing where we are. Sometimes it's our stubbornness. We do battle God on these things. But do you know where you are? Is there anyone here you don't know that for sure? You don't have this assurance of God that you're on this earth, but yes, you're in time and space, you're in earth history, but you're also at this point in that, in eternity, and you are right before God because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Is there anyone here this morning that I can pray for that doesn't know that? Would you lift your hand, and I won't make a big show of it, but I'll pray for you, or talk to me later. Or just let this burn into the deepest parts of your being. that God wants us to know where we are. We'll live differently when we know we're part of God's grand and glorious plan. We will live differently. And maybe God will stoke the fire, our passion for souls, because our neighbors, the ones we see, we see them, we bump into them at Farm King or down the street or whatever, they don't know where they are, folks. They're lost. And unless they meet Jesus Christ, the one who came to seek and to save them, they will be eternally lost. They will be eternally lost. Speak to our hearts, mighty God. Oh, how we praise you for your word. You powerful, powerful word of truth. Father, we can understand everything we need to know. We can be thoroughly equipped for every service that you would place in our hands. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.